I would ask that everyone reaches their hand out like this and join me in prayer over Pastor and for each other. Father God, you've invited us today into a place of worship. Your spirit has brought our spirits into the Holy of Holies, Father God. In this place, there is comfort, Lord. In this place, there is security, Lord. There is no condemnation, just proclamation of the wonders and of the miracles that you do in each of our lives, Father God. There is power in this place, Lord God, power to slay the demons, Lord, power to cast out demons, Lord, and also power of revelation that we pray upon Pastor Jeff as he delivers this message, Father God. We pray that his eyes continue to be open, Lord, his heart continue to be receptive, Lord, and his voice continue to be strong with his spirit, Lord, in proclaiming the message that you have put on his heart today. We pray this, Father God, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pat. So we've been in the book of Daniel. We've been looking at stories in Daniel, and we talked about the fact that these stories that we read in Scripture oftentimes seem crazy, maybe absurd, maybe a little ridiculous. And I'm in the full understanding and belief that God does the crazy, absurd, and ridiculous. And he does it to show his power. He does it to show that there's a possibility for your life and my life to be changed. And so we've been looking at the book of Daniel and these awesome, amazing stories that some might call crazy, absurd. I call them God doing what God can do. If he placed the stars in the sky, then he can keep somebody from burning in a pit. That's the kind of God I serve. And this, as we're looking through these stories, maybe you grew up in the church and you're really familiar with this story and you're like, oh, it's great. We heard a Nat share that story. I'm good. I can go home now. Just hold on for the next 20 minutes. Maybe there's something new for you. Maybe this is brand new to you and you're like, all right, tell me that again. He got thrown in a lion's den. Hang on. Let's talk about this story for a second. And just to catch you up with where we've been, we started in Daniel chapter 1. And we learned that our name and our soul matters to God. And God's way prevails over the worlds every time. Your name is important to the creator of the universe. If you're sitting here this morning, if you walk on two legs or in a wheelchair or whatever it is, you're on this planet, whether you believe in him or not, your name, who you are, matters to Creator God. And then we learned that what the world offers us, apart from God, is conformity, accusation, and death. But what God offers us is conviction, transformation, and life in chapter 3. And then last week, we looked at Daniel chapter 5, and we heard that there is a God who loves us and refuses to let us go in a direction that leads to our destruction. The God who created the sun, moon, and the stars, this planet, the trees, the birds, everything, that God who created all that does not desire your destruction. And he wants to keep you from it. And so he gave us this thing called the Bible. And this morning I want to talk to you about Daniel chapter 6. And if you have a Bible with you, open it up to Daniel chapter 6. If you have an app, pull that open. If you don't have either one of those, we've got Bibles in front of you. It's page 862. 862, Daniel chapter 6. And just to set the story, the Israelites have been taken captive into this land called Babylon. And we've had several different rulers. And the last chapter that we talked about, chapter 5, the existing ruling culture was wiped out by the Medes and the Persians. And the Medes and the Persians took over. And King Darius was the leader of the Medes and Persians at the time, who also was co-leading with this guy named Cyrus. But we pick the story up here in Daniel chapter 1, and it says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. His conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They found no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and he was neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So let's stop there for a second. And there's a couple different people in the story, right? So you've got Daniel, who seems to be this guy who does pretty much everything correct. And maybe you've experienced those kind of people in your life. Maybe there's that guy in your office. Maybe there's that kid in school who always gets the answer correct, does everything right. Maybe sometimes we call them sucking up to the boss, that kind of person. But that's not the guy that Daniel is. And we'll find that out in a second. Then you got these groups of people that just get frustrated that everything that Daniel does seems to turn to gold. Right? Everything that he does, and we don't want that. He's too perfect. There's got to be something wrong with him, so let's destroy him. I don't know, maybe you've maybe delved in that in your life. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe you've been one of those people where you see somebody else, well, we just got to knock his legs off so I don't look as bad compared to him. Knock him down a notch just so I don't look so terrible. Notice there's no corruption found in him and no negligence. So he's not corrupt in any way, shape, or form. He can't be bought. You can't, not only that, everything that he does, he's not lazy, he's not thought, he does everything what he's supposed to do. It drives these people up the wall. Let's destroy him. And you got this king who has a guy that he's entrusted leadership to that is doing everything that he asks. If I'm the king, I'm like, finally, just one person, finally, one guy, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. I ask you to do something and you make it happen. If I'm the king, let's high five. Let's do it. Yeah, it's great. Let's do it. So we've got these kind of three things going on, and overall this is God, and we'll watch him throughout this process. So you got the people that are complaining because they don't want any perfection. You've got Daniel, who's living this life of perfection. We'll find out why in a second. And then you got this king who's like really excited that he said something and somebody followed his orders. And then it comes in chapter 6, and it says, "So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.'" Suck up to him a little bit. "The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors all have agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, should be thrown in the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue a decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went to his upstairs room where the window was open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asked God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. 'Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any other god or human being, except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?' The king answered, 'The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.' Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to your decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day.' When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed, and he was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him." So look at Daniel for a second. So he's this guy who just everything that he's doing what he's told. He's given this leadership opportunity. He does it. He lives it out. He accomplishes everything the king asked him to do. Not only that, he does it with full tilt running forward. There's no laziness. There's no, I'll get that to tomorrow. No procrastination. He just gets it done. And here we find out why. because everything that he does is not for the king, it's not for people, it's for the God he serves. That's our framework for Daniel. Daniel's not a suck-up, he's not a goody-goody. He worships a God that he believes in, and everything about what he does as a person, who he is, his identity is found in his God. And so when he's serving the king, he is really serving his God. And then we have this thing here where a decree is issued that contradicts his service to God, and he has a choice to make. I don't know. I'm looking at this, and it's 30 days. So just don't let any... Can we be a little honest? So just don't let anybody see you praying for 30 days. No big deal, Daniel. It's contrary to Daniel's identity. It's contrary to his identity. What? I can't pray to the God who I've seen do amazing things, who has carried me, who sustained me, who keeps me on this... I can't talk to him anymore? At some point, when there are government laws that take us away from our service from the Lord, this is the only time, people, the only time where we're able to deviate from the law. And I think sometimes we take great liberties on this. Notice what Daniel does not do. He doesn't run to the king. He'll go, King, this is unfair. This is wrong. You know me. You know that I serve my God. This is unfair for me. He doesn't scream. He doesn't go picket the palace. He doesn't get a bunch of people to come and storm the palace and go, this is unjust. He doesn't post it on Facebook. He does not allow it to alter his identity. He keeps serving his God. If I serve my God and something happens to me, oh well, I'm serving my God. But you notice what he does do? He honors his king. Wow, for those of you who call yourselves followers of Christ, and for me, what would it tell the world? What would it tell the world if we stopped complaining about all the injustice that we see about our religious rights and honored the authority above us the way God of the universe has asked us to do it? How different would this world be? And understand that I'm screaming at myself because I have been this person. But all throughout Scripture, we see that we are to honor those in authority above us. And the only time we deviate from that is when our authority structure with God is called into jeopardy. And even in that, you do it with gentleness and respect. Everything about who Daniel is about honoring those in authority above him. Everything about who he is. How different would this world be if we hung on to this truth and honored the God who asked us to honor those who are above us, even when they act the way they act? Let's keep going. Verse 15, it says, Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, Remember your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree and edict that the king issued can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the ring of the noble, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out of the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in God. Now, I absolutely love animals. Love them to death. Like, if I wasn't a pastor, maybe I would work at a zoo. Just, I love animals. If I had an opportunity, like, I see videos on YouTube of lions running up and hugging a guy, and I'm like, I want to be that guy. Look how cute and cuddly with those big teeth, but they're hugging and kissing. Like, that is not the situation here. He gets thrown in this den with these lions with big gnarly teeth who haven't eaten in a really long time. He is not friend, he is foe. I'd be praying all night, "Lord Jesus, put an imaginary window around me so I can look at these lions like we're at the zoo." Hi, kitty. And God sustains him. God sustains him. Notice what the king says to Daniel before he puts him in the lion's den. "May your God, who you serve continually, rescue you." He sees something in Daniel that is different than all the rest. He sees that everything about Daniel is in service to this God that he serves. And there's something inside of that king who is attracted to what Daniel has and wants, but he is tied into the decree that he has listed. There is no way out of it. As soon as it was spoken from him, as soon as he put that signet ring down, there was no changing it whatsoever. It was going to happen. So here he is torn between this guy, one of the only guys in the whole kingdom who does what he asks, and this stupid decree that he got himself stuck into. And he sees something in Daniel. And he trusts, he prays all night long that it doesn't change. I can't help but look at this story. And, like, there's a lot of, like, football's coming to an end right now. There's a lot of, like, I like football. A lot of football going on. And I love a really good comeback story. I don't know what it is. There's this, when you see a team that's down by a ton of points and they come roaring back and win, like, especially if it's a team you like, and they come roaring back and win, like, they're, yes! Or when we see injustice, right? When we see, like, somebody who is, like, they're getting crushed, and then all of a sudden the situation changed and all of a sudden it's good, like, there's something inside of me goes, yes! Over the football season, over the bowl season, there was this amazing game, one of the best games in bowl history, and it was TCU versus Oregon. And at halftime, it was 31-0, and TCU is losing, 31-0. And maybe rightfully so, their quarterback the night before gets in a bar fight and can't play. Their best wide receiver hurts his leg, and he can't play. So they're... rightfully so, they're getting destroyed. And at halftime, their coach pulls them in the huddle and says, "This is a proud program. If we go out there in the second half and decide to play, we will win this game. If we go out the second half and decide to be who we are, we will win this game." And they go out the second half and they score 38 unanswered points. They end up tied at the end of regulation. They go to triple overtime and finally win 47-41. It's awesome. Sorry, if you're not a football guy, that's... yeah, I just want to, like... yeah, I love a good comeback story. And I'm looking at this. Daniel, I mean, he's done everything right coming up to this point, and here he is in the lion's den, and it's halftime. And the morning comes, and he is still alive. And there is victory over the lions. This morning, I don't want to motivate you. I want to give you a transformation opportunity. Maybe today in your life, it just feels like everything is just out of whack. Maybe it just feels off. It just feels like the world's against you. You have people on every side attacking you, whatever it is. Can we today just decide that it's halftime? That it's halftime in your life. And there's a whole second half to play. And there is a God who controls all, who knows you by name. And he wants you to be who you are. It's halftime right now. And things are out of whack. You feel out of whack. You do not have to stay the same way you were when you came in this morning. You don't have to do it. There is a whole nother half to play. And this is the response that takes place, right? This is the response. So this is what happens. The king is giddy. In verse 25, it says, "The king Darius wrote to all the nations and people everywhere in the language in all the earth, 'May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. He rescued Daniel from the power of the lions.'" The same God who rescued Daniel from the power of the lions wants to rescue you. I don't know what your lion's den is. I don't know what the circumstance, but it's halftime. And there's a whole second half for you to play. Will you play it? And please hear me, this is not a doing. I'm not asking you to just bolt on a whole bunch of stuff and do. I'm asking you to be who you are. The one who was created by Creator God to be something different. We have these three action steps that we're doing right now in our church for 2016. The first is this, putting ourselves in a position to listen to God. The second is tapping into this thing called discipleship, where we're growing spiritually and we're bringing others along with us. And the third is this, that the community of Nyack at the end of 2016 will know that they're loved by Living Christ Church. This is what I want to say to you this morning. If we own this, that it's halftime and there's a whole second half to play, and we be who God created us to be, then the world gets to see God. Look at Daniel's life. He served this God unhindered. Yeah, there's a lot of people that didn't like that. But there was a king who saw who he was. And noticed that there was a difference about Daniel. And he wanted what Daniel had. Not only that, he wanted his whole kingdom to have what Daniel had. Will you be who God created you to be, so that the whole kingdom will see the God that you serve? I don't want to give you the coach pep talk. I don't want this to just be good words out of Pastor Jeff's mouth this morning. Wow, it was really good this morning. Wow, it was good. I feel good in my soul. Don't let it just be good words. Let it land deep down in your gut so a transformation takes place today. Because it's halftime and there's a whole second half to play. And the world will be different if you tap into what God has created you to be. The worship team is going to come back up. We're going to sing one more song. May the joy of God fall upon you during the song. May the joy of Creator God fall upon you during the song. May you not just sense a motivation this morning, but you would be transformed to go out those doors, because it's halftime and there's a whole second half.